I want to share a story. Now, many of you know this story. However, I want to take like a more personal and like intimate look at this probably all too familiar story. Now, this is a story of a leader. This leader had been handed a massive mantle of leadership, and this leader was Moses. Now, I want you to think of Moses. You know, when we think of him, he's like this iconic patriarch of the Old Testament. We often forget that he was a person with a family and with limitations. We quickly overlook the intimate and personal details of this like regular man's life with his regular wife and two kids. While in the deserts of Midian, Moses meets Zipporah. Now, with the blessing of her father, Jethro, Moses and Zipporah get married, have two kids. Now, their world completely turns upside down when Moses is called into leadership. Interestingly enough, Moses led a very interesting life. Though he was raised in the courts of Pharaoh and banished to the deserts of Midian, Moses now finds himself in charge of this humongous group of people. Moses had an interesting storyline. Were his life a book? Some chapter titles would read like this. Chapter 1, raised as royalty. Chapter 2, banished to the desert. Chapter 3, an encounter with God in a burning bush. Chapter 4, leaving Egypt with a bang. Chapter 5, leading 1 million people. We got trouble. Okay, your story might be the same, right? This kind of zigzaggy storyline of your life might follow a similar pattern. My story sure does. The chapters of my story would read like this. Chapter 1, rebellious teen with a tumultuous past. Chapter 2, an encounter with Jesus changes everything. Chapter 3, dreams of ministry detoured. Chapter 4, the wilderness of chemistry teaching. Chapter 5, called to the deep end of the ministry pool, but can he swim? Now, how did you find yourself in the role that you're now holding? I doubt that you were on the path toward leading volunteers at the ripe age of 5 years old. Your journey is probably similar to Moses' story and my story and most other people's story. I imagine your story has like an odd and serpentine path that finds you where you are today. And sadly, the harder parts of your story might mirror Moses' story as well. But back to Moses. So his serpentine journey now finds him in the desert with 1 million needy people looking to him for leadership. Now when I put those shoes on, I start to quake actually. Moses had to make discerning decisions. It was often these decisions were between two parties at odds. Now, I want you to envision Moses inside a tent, sitting on a stool, envision lines and lines of people waiting to get in to see Moses and give a decision. This scene plays out night after night. Now, let's personalize this situation. Moses is a married man. He's got two kids. He ain't at home. He is plagued by the tyranny of the urgent. All of the problems come directly to Moses. Large or small, Moses manages it all. He's likely good at it, right? I mean, he's likely the best, actually. But I gotta tell you, it's taking its toll. Night after night, Moses comes home in the dark, fatigued and spent, only to get up and live out this like frenzied and frenetic form of leadership all over again the very next day. At the same time, Zipporah, you see, she's holding down the fort on the home front. It's got to be done. She's holding like this 65-pound rock by herself all the time. She's a champ. She's able to do this knowing that the calling that they both have on their lives is important. You see, Moses and Zipporah are one. His calling is her calling, but everybody's got their breaking point. Moses' wife, Zipporah, actually leaves and goes back home to the desert land of Midian with the kids. Moses, you see, Zipporah left him. Now, think about this situation. Moses' wife, his wife basically left him, went home with the kids and plopped down in front of her dad, Jethro, weary and worn. That hurts. Now, I must say, my story, it's not completely detached or dissimilar from this tale. My wife and I had a calling of leadership in the local church, and there was a cost that we both assumed. We both assumed that cost, but again, everybody's got their limits. I've been there. Moses was there, It's like, Moses, buddy, I got you. I feel that. So I want you to think about this. Zipporah leaves with the kids and goes back to her parents. Jethro, he packs up from Midian and heads on the road to a journey to go visit his son-in-law. That day started like any other day for Moses. He shows up at the tent. There's already a super long, deep line of people demanding decisions. The day has passed into night, and the line of people is as far as the eye can see. Moses finishes with one conflict, and another sits down. This line is his life. Moses finishes with a random conflict about two dead goats, and he looks up, and the next person in line, and to his shock, the person behind that person is actually Jethro, his father-in-law. Moses gulps, knowing what's coming. Just for fun, let's imagine Jethro waits like everybody else. And when it's his turn to sit opposite of Moses, he simply says, "Hey, when you're done here, I'd love to talk with you back at home." Dude, that seems so painful to me. Well, just like every other night, Moses staggers home, spent from like this super unsustainable pace, and Jethro is sitting by candlelight in the tent, awake and alert. Now, Exodus 18, 17 and 18 says this about Moses' father-in-law. It says, Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." Jethro coaches and counsels Moses to create a tiered system of qualified leaders to manage, expedite, and multiply ministry that Moses has been given. Exodus 18, 21 to 23 says this, "But select capable men from among the people who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. They will make your load lighter because they will share in it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." The simple structure. It is a simple structure. Moses was handed like the hardest cases, yet he was to train and equip others to help shoulder this load. Notice at the end game of Jethro and what he's suggesting, you will be able to stand the strain. I want to say that again. You will be able to stand the strain. Volunteer leadership is strenuous. I want you to stand the strain as well. I want you to be able to be in this for the long haul. The only way, the truly biblical way, is ministry multiplication. Bottom line, leadership delegation is wisdom.